Well, thank you for being you and for letting me speak tonight. So I'm going to do something a little different as I teach tonight. I've never done this before. So this is one of my personal journals. So when I'm thinking about stuff, I journal things. When I'm studying, I'm always journaling to read a book that impacts me in ways. I go back and journal the whole thing. And so these are probably like a little bit deeper thoughts that I have, rather than just laying out an outline. You know, of course, I always pray and, you know, what's the word supposed to be? So that doesn't change. It's just that I'm going back to this rather than writing down a new outline. But I really felt, I don't know, almost like it was incomplete or something all this week, and I never really felt like I had the thing. But then when we were driving over here this evening, I really felt like this was going to be personal to somebody. So I think it'll be good for everybody, but I just had a feeling like this is really going to be personal for somebody. So I hope that it is. I hope that it answers some things for you. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT tonight. We're just going to read 1 through 5, so it's not going to be a whole lot. It says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." All good things, right? Awesome things we just read. But I really love the next part. It says, "We can rejoice too." So we can also rejoice when we run into problems and trials. That's important. That one statement, you can hinge on that thing and do circles. That one, we can also rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. We're going to stop right there, but we can rejoice too when we have problems and trials and pain. That's something that we have to a different degree than what people have that don't have Christ. They don't have that, and we do. And I just love how we close out with, it's not the closing out the chapter, but the verse that we ended with is, "We know how dearly God loves us." So even when we have pain and trials and issues, we can rejoice. But even when we have trials and pains and issues, we still know how dearly God loves us. I think that's huge. That's important, because I don't know, I feel pretty confident that everybody in here has ran into problems and trials and experienced pain in their life. I have. But we can even rejoice in those things, and we can still know just how dearly God loves us. That's big. And so let's just pray. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I thank you for the people that aren't physically here, that are here, that are a part of us. And Lord, I ask that anything that goes into these people here tonight would freely exit these people into others. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I was kind of thinking about this, and it's kind of, well, the subject matter is, it's troubles that are accompanied by pain. Because when you have troubles, it's painful. You have family issues, it's painful. You have financial issues, it's painful. And so, pain kind of accompanies troubles. And the problem is that pain so conflicts with our concept of what we expect God to be like. When we have these pain, it's just an immediate conflict of what we think God's supposed to be like, and it's hard for us to merge our pain with his claims. It becomes hard. So I'm going through, I see these claims that you make, and I'm going through this pain. The difficulty is making those merge together and see that they can fit. That's hard to even try to do. A lot of times we don't even attempt to do it because it's easier to retreat and hide under hollow phrases. Somebody asks you how you're doing. God is good, blessed and highly favored, you know. But if they were to ask how you really are and you were to tell them how you really are, it might sound a little bit different. But it's just a whole lot easier not to try to bring those two things together. And it's not a slight against anybody. It's nothing like that. It's hard. You know, it's hard for all of us, but it's important. I think we have to discover the role that God plays when we have issues. Because there's a role. We have to understand how God interfaces with problems. We have to know what He supplies in the process. If we don't know what He supplies in the process, we don't see that He has all the answers to the problem. That's His role. That's part of His role in what we're going through, is what He supplies and what He expects to accomplish. Because it doesn't have to be God that gives you the pain. That doesn't stop Him from accomplishing something through the pain, because God works to the good everything for those that are called and walk according to His purposes. So even in it, He can rework it, He can reinvent it, He can change it. He has all these things that He does inside of our pain. And so it's not, we have a hard time bringing those two things together, but they go together. Because it is He that supplies all the hope to the resolution of our problem. Right? We kind of opened with, we have a hope that other people don't have. Yeah. When I'm going through things, I have a hope that an unbeliever doesn't have. And so if we have a hard time understanding that, we have a more tendency to make the problem me versus the problem. And I'm guilty of that. The focus becomes me versus the problem. And then I fight harder, I work harder, I never rest, I lose focus on the things that I should be focusing on. My family goes to the side, my friends go to the side, and it's me versus my problem. But that's not the way that it's supposed to be for us. And so I want to jump in to kind of the meat of this. I brought four myths that I want to give you. Four myths and false perceptions of pain. And so it's nothing complete. These are four things that I would encourage you to write down. I'll speak just a little bit about them, but it's something that you can really run with. There'll be a lot of things that you can really dig into a study. It'll bring you closer to God, I believe. So number one, the myth that pain is punishment. The myth that pain is punishment. So if I'm going through pain, I am being punished. So that's myth number one. What happens is, I know I've done it, and probably everybody in here at one point in time or multiple times has done this. We'll have a tendency to race back through our history to try to find the failure that explains the pain that I'm going through and why I'm being punished with the pain that I'm feeling. We'll race through the history and, oh, that's why this is going on. Because I did that then, right? You know, I did it yesterday or 5 minutes ago. Sometimes we don't have to run very far, right? But we have a tendency to do that, and we try to explain the pain with punishment. But that's not what God does. That is a myth. So it is true that God will bring difficulty for discipline. If you read Hebrews chapter 12 or Proverbs 3, get on, you know, both sides, get two covenant perspectives. It's a consistency. God will bring difficulties for discipline, but discipline and punishment are two very different things. And so what we have to understand is that difficulty or trouble or pain is never punishment. Because Jesus bore the fullness of all our punishment one time, once and for all. So it's not punishment, ever. It's a myth. I may face difficulties for my discipline, but not for my punishment. Two different things. Discipline is a good thing. You could even look at it as a promise that I am truly His. Because it says that if you are my child, then I will discipline you. And so that's a promise that, hey, you know, I truly am His. That's a good place to be. Number two, pain is always bad and unproductive. So in our addiction to pleasure and comfort and easy,
yeah.
right, we see trouble as a non-productive interruption into what my life should be like. A non-productive interruption into what my life should be like. So I'll say this, pain is unpleasant, would we agree? Pain is unpleasant, but it can also be productive. And we're going to look at the fact that it can bring us to a better understanding of who God is, of who I am. Pain can do both of those things. I mean, you can say or think, this is what my core values are. When you go through something that causes pain, you'll start finding out that this is what my real core values truly are. And so it brings me into a better understanding of myself and who I am. Trouble brings God, family, friends back into focus. I mean, you know, when things start going wrong, who do you start reaching for? Family, your friends, and hopefully you're running to God and not away from God. So it brings that thing that should be close, it brings it back close. And it fixes our focus. When we get focused on things that are of lesser value or the me versus the problem issue, that pain will actually help. If we handle ourselves right, it'll bring those things back to where they should be. Put our focus where it should be. A very consistent message in the Bible. We started with Romans 5. A very consistent message in the Bible is that trouble makes us better. To say it simply. Trouble makes us better. We read it with Romans. When you go through these things, it produces this in you. It's going to fix your character. If you got character issues, trouble can take care of that. Right? You can read James 1. It's going to tell you the same thing. It's going to say that this will bring you to a complete maturity and you'll lack nothing. I mean, that's big. When you say something like that, that's a heavy statement, right? Because we're looking at that as God's word and truth. And He's saying when you go through these things, you're being made mature and you're going to come to a place where you're going to lack nothing. That's important. So trouble and pain and issues, that can be pretty productive. If it's going to make me lack nothing, that's being pretty productive, right? None of us would be sitting here without pain. Because the baby don't come without pain. So, well, you know, I actually thought about that.
Pain's still there, you
just
don't feel it.
Yeah. One, the epidural does cause a little pain. And two, there are some painful things just carrying the baby from what I've seen. So, no, I actually thought about that. I'm like, the epidural kind of numbs things. So, yeah. All right, myth number three. Pain is indicative of spiritual failure, or myth number three. Pain is indicative of spiritual failure. We assume that the good life is a sign of God's blessing, right? That if we have enough faith, then we can be happy, we can be healthy, we can be wealthy. And now, let me say this. I'm not saying that's untrue. God will bless you when you're faithful. I believe that He gives you more. I believe that it brings righteousness, peace, and joy, right? It's the kingdom, so we have the happiness, the wealthy. I think that's true. The problem is in that context, we run the risk of doing the reverse. Then I will assume that if I don't feel like I have the good life, then it's because I'm a spiritual failure. It's because I lack faith, right? You can have a wonderful faith life and still be attacked by Satan. So it's not indicative of a spiritual failure. And of the hundreds of verses we could use, I would say Hebrews chapter 11 is a good chapter summary that will show us that troubles and that pain is not indicative of being a spiritual failure. It will actually show us that even the heroes of faith had troubles. They had painful things that they went through. And I wouldn't even argue to say that the pain and the trouble is what transformed them into the hero. Right? They are the heroes of faith. They handled the load. They came out the other side with victory. They came out better than they ever were before. And so when you look at the hero, they come out of the phone booth more than what they were when they went in, right? And so when you go through the trouble, you come out of the trouble more than what you were when you went into the trouble. And so it's transformative into making us more than who we were before. So it's not making me a spiritual failure or indicating that I'm a spiritual failure because I have troubles and pain. It's actually indicating that I'm becoming more than what I was before, because God works everything to my good. Melanie, do we have a mic? Yes, no? Okay.
I've found that there are seasons of refining that I've gone through the years. And yeah. In fact, I feel like children help do a good job of that as well.
Yeah. No doubt.
You know, out of the heart come the issues of life. And when I begin to feel the issues, I really have been trying to learn to take inventory of my heart, what's going on in it and why. And because God wants to tend to the garden of our heart and pull the weeds, the seeds of bad things, because we all live in a fallen world and there is no one yet perfect, but we are being perfected. But it says, because this goes along with what you were just saying, Malachi chapter 3 says that the Lord is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. You know, I don't know any one of us who doesn't get refined by the fire. There's the fire of trials of just life, but there's also the refining of our heart, that he wants it to be a representation of a child of God. And if I don't deal with those and I stuff them down, you know, I will have more pain and more trauma. But if I begin to let the gardener come in and work on those things in my heart, you know, then, you know, you get those seasons of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Yeah. But, you know, like with parenting, there's things that I see in them and then I'm like, wow, that's still in me. Like, that, like, provoked something. Yeah. Like, whoa, okay, that behavior right there reminds me of me. and you know, and then going and running to the Lord about it, pluck that out of my heart and help me to handle these issues properly.
Yep. And the things that we do that we see in our parents, like, oh, I just did that thing. Yeah.
I had a dream one time and I was milking snakes. And like the fangs, you know, and I woke up and I felt the Lord say that, you know, that in the lab that he was going to change some things that were poisonous to people into an anti-venom. And it was actually the things we were going through was actually going to be a healing property. And one of the things that David said in the Psalms, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then he goes on to say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be afflicted that I might learn your precepts.
That's good.
And I studied the Bible so much because I'm sick. Is there anything in here for healing? You know, people are hating me. Is there anything in it? What are the solutions in the Bible? So yeah. My great motivation, other than adoring the Lord, has been affliction has caused me to dive into the Word for the answers and to find him in the middle of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. You can never see it in it is, I think, part of the problem. When you get to the other side, you can look back and say, it's a good thing that I was afflicted. It's hard to say that while you're being afflicted. It's when you get on the other side of it, say, that was a good thing, right? And so that's really what we're looking at in these myths and these false perceptions. And part of it is being, you know, fully submitted to God, because, you know, you don't get to choose how you're refined. It's probably going to be the thing that you handle the worst, right? You know, and it's Bob.
Why do the wicked prosper and have no pangs of death? Yeah. And as for me, my feet are almost worn off. You know, he's saying the things that we see sometimes and we think. But then if you read on, it said, and then I drew nigh to the Lord and I saw that he'd set them in a slippery place. So just another good example of trials and bringing somebody close to the Lord.
Yeah, yep. It's, like I said, a very consistent message in the Bible that our troubles make us better. And, you know, Apostle Dan was even talking about it up here before we even started, about our weaknesses. In my weakness, made strong. And so it ties right along with it. Myth number four, this is a big one, especially if you want to try to relate really well with unsaved people. They don't ask the easy questions. Yeah, they always ask the hard questions. So myth number four, pain is incompatible with an always good and all-powerful God.
Yeah.
Myth number four, pain is incompatible with an always good and all-powerful God. Because here's the thing, pain doesn't just affect you. It doesn't just affect you and your family. When you're going through things, it's affecting everybody around you. Even the people that are just looking, that are just watching what you're going through. Because everybody wants to believe in a good father. Everybody wants to believe in a good and fair world, right? That's what people, I mean, they're looking for it. So it inevitably raises questions of the goodness of God and the power of God. But we have to get to this place where we can tell those people the truth is that God's goodness and his power are not a contradiction to the presence of trouble in your life or to the presence of pain in your life. The goodness and power of God are not a contradiction to the pain in your life. Instead, his goodness and his power are the realities that offer the hope and the resolution to your pain. His goodness and his power, you throw in his presence and keep adding to it, are the realities that offer hope and resolution in the pain. Because here's the thing. I'm going to step away from that for a minute so I'm not looking at it. So the thing is, when we're going through stuff, we start asking why, right? Why is this happening to me? We get the why me's, right? We really got to go to who. Who is the problem, right? Is this an attack from Satan? Is this because I made stupid choices? Is this because somebody close to me made a stupid choice and it's affecting me? Is it a direct attack from Satan? Is it because, you know, I'm literally being obedient to God, right? It happens. He said, hey, get in the boat. Go over there. They did right into a storm, right? So it's, we have all these things that are happening. And so we start grasping for things. What are the realities? And what we're really grasping for is control. I want to fix my pain. I want to fix my problem. That's what we're grasping for is control. I want to fix this. How do I fix it? And so you have control over very little. So what I'm talking about with the reality is he is the one that offers the hope and the resolution, is he is one of the two things that I can think of right now that you can grab a hold of that's solid.
Yeah.
When you're grasping, he's the one thing I can grab a hold of him and have solid hope. Yeah. I can grab a hold of him and have faith. I can grab a hold of him and be encouraged, right? And then about the only other thing I can think of off the top of my head is when I'm going through those things, the way I choose to handle it, right? Am I going to continue to exercise gratitude and thankfulness? Or am I going to constantly call out how bad it is, how terrible it is, how negative it is? So I do get to choose how I react to it. But the number one most solid thing that I can get a hold of when I'm grasping is Him. Yeah. He is the reality of hope and resolution in our pain. I hope that makes sense. He is the reality of hope and resolution. So we're winding down. I want to kind of flip it just a little bit. I want to give you three certainties of pain. We won't go in as far, just so we don't take up more time. Three certainties of pain. So this, if I'm going through pain, this is a certainty I'm going to get. So if I'm going through pain, I will receive His grace. So certainty number one, if I'm going through pain, I will receive His grace. Certainty number two, if I'm going through pain, I will have growth. Certainty number three is if I'm going through pain, there will be glory. And so I want to say it like this too. If you, anytime you're going through pain, if you're with God, there's always gain. And we can say that confidently. If I'm walking with God and I go through pain, then there's going to be gain. And so, just real quickly, His certainty number one, His grace. His grace will always come. It will always sustain us regardless of our circumstances. And so, for example, when Peter's being sifted, the grace was sufficient. When Paul had a thorn, the grace was sufficient. And so we're going through these things and God is looking down and His grace will always come. And He can say, my grace is sufficient for you right now in that circumstance, regardless of what it is. Certainty number two was growth. We're going through pain. We're going to have growth. So it's going to grow our character, our competency, and our capacity. So the consistent message through is that pain will make us better, right? So our character will be better. We will grow in competency. Our capacity will be enlarged, right? So just quick examples. And then glory, going through pain. We already said the world is watching. And so when you walk through that pain and have victory and handle it in a way that they know that they couldn't, and they're wondering why, and you reflect back to, right? You are a reflection. Back to God. They see, they say, you know what? God truly is good enough and powerful enough to be counted on in trouble. So when we make it through and people are watching, we glorify God just by getting to the other side. And so glory will come. And I don't want to leave you like thinking on a negative note. But I want to throw something out that's really kind of hard, right? That way we can flip around and apply. What do we do when God says no? Because God says no sometimes. What do you do when God says no? And I don't mean easy stuff. I'm talking about when David's saying, I don't want to lose my baby. When Jesus asks, maybe there's a different way. When Paul's saying, would you please remove the messenger of Satan? And God says no. You know, those are hard things, right? Those are the types of things that when people are asking, you know, the real questions. What do we do? And so I just wanted to throw that in because what do we do with something really hard? It doesn't have to be when God says no. It can be an attack of Satan. It can be a bad choice I made. It can be any of those things. But I'm going through something that's truly hard. What do we do? A good starting point is to reflect back to what are the myths and what are the certainties? What are the myths? What do I not need to be believing about what I'm going through, and what do I need to be believing in this thing that I'm going through? And so, number one, I hope that it helps us believe correctly. Yeah. But number two, the fact is we've all encountered these things, and we're probably going to again. So my hope is that I could give you something real that you could reflect back on if you took notes. And this is a good thing for me to start with. This thing that I'm going through, maybe I'm getting frustrated, maybe I'm getting agitated, and I'm just, my focus is floating off. This can help bring me back to center. Bring me back to God. Get my focus back to God, family, and friends, rather than me versus this problem. Because one of the greatest things that I can do in my problem, God, family, friends, go to God, talk to Him about it. Go to family, talk to Him about it. Go to friends, talk to Him about it. Get the prayer circle going. One of the most powerful things you can do. And that many times it's after we've been in the walk for a while that we forget to do those basic things. It's after we've been in the walk for a while we forget to do those basic things. And sometimes, you know, we're thinking wrong. They already got too much. I don't want to trouble them with it. They already got their own things going on. If it's your circle, it's your circle. They're going to welcome you, right? They're going to welcome you, no matter what they got going on. So it's just fixing our thinking. And so I want you ultimately to be encouraged that even though we have pain sometimes, even though we have trouble sometimes, God works it to the good every single time. He works it to the good every single time, no matter what it is. A lot of times we really forget that when it's something that we did. Right? Made a stupid choice, you know, whatever it may be, and, you know, sometimes. But God will make that good too. That's just how good He is. Even when I messed it up, He'll fix it. He'll make it good. He'll use it to my advantage. Where there's pain, there's gain if you're walking with God. So just understand that you're being made better. If you're in it right now, you're being made better. I think that that will always preach.
Amen. Right on.
Because when you walk out there, they're going through things too. And so all you got to say, when you walk with God, if there's pain, there's always gain. You can preach that anywhere.
Amen.
You can preach that anywhere. We can stand. Be encouraged. Like I said, I really felt like driving over here, it was going to be personal for somebody. So if that's you, be encouraged. You are being made better right now as we speak. So you have every reason to be encouraged within your spirit, to let your countenance change, to lift your eyes up off the floor, to praise God, to shout to God, to glorify God, to put a smile on your face, and to be happy, and to know that although it's hard to say it when I'm in it, when I get to the other side, it was good that I was afflicted. It was good that God was there in the affliction. And even though it didn't look like it, I can see when on in the other side that I'm going to be better, that I'm going to be closer to God, that I'm going to understand God more, I'm going to understand myself more, I'll know my calling more, I'll know my purpose more. I'll be more solidified in my identity because of the thing that I've gone through, that I'm going through, or that I may go through. So, Father, we just thank You tonight. Lord, we thank You that no matter what we're going through, Your grace is always sufficient. We thank You that no matter what we're going through, You will use it to grow us and make us better. And, Father, we thank You that even when the enemy is trying to attack us and tear us down, You use His own work against him, and You bring it about to where we walk through and it glorifies You. So, Father, we just thank You that in it, You give us Your grace, that You give us growth, and that it glorifies You. In Jesus' name, amen.